Blog Talk Radio.
Our scripture tonight is coming from Psalms 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majestic and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder are the great waters. Mightier than the breaker of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Holiness, holiness adorns your house for endless days. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to just come and share the word of God with each and every one of us as we reach out in prayer, connect, and intercede on behalf of each other, dear Father. I thank you for all of those who do not take our time to say thank you today. I thank you, Jesus, for loving us enough to discipline us, loving us enough to just send your only Son to give into us, that he gave his life, that it removed all of our sins, dear Father. We just repent, and it breaks that separation from you, Jesus. I thank you for loving us enough to just want to have us back in your arms and just going ahead of us and preparing a place for us, that where you are, that we can be back with you one day, dear Father. I thank you, dear Father, for never leaving us down here by ourselves. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us your comfort and directs us and intercedes for us and speaks for us, even when words are out of our mouth and out of our minds and out of our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit just interceding. And we just pray that you just increase right now in our lives. We just ask you, dear Father, to accept our invitation of faith, dear Father, and come and spread your word all over us, dear Father. Anoint us with your goodness and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, this is your host, Minister Von Dillis, and I'm coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. It is a nice night out tonight. I had another beautiful Saturday here. I think the temperature right now is about 60 degrees outside, so, you know, not bad at all. We had a very nice day today. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you're doing. And then we ask blessings, dear Father, as we look out amongst all the other sisters and brothers all around the country and the ones that may be going through ice storms or snow storms right now, dear Father. Somebody may be without lights or electricity. Whatever the situation may be, we ask your blessings upon each and every one of them, dear Father. And we ask you to bless all the ones that are hungry and shelterless, dear Father, and the ones that are just lonely right now. We just ask the Holy Spirit to just wrap your mighty arms of comfort around each and every one of them. And then, my sisters and brothers, I reach out to you, and I remind you to take a look and take notice. Take very close attention to your neighbors, to your coworkers, and just look out there. God has something for you to see. So you make sure that you're asking God to open your eyes, that you may see what it is that he wants you to see. Someone may be in need just right under your nose, and because they smile every day doesn't mean that they doesn't have a need, but God wants you to be the provisionary and provide or lead them to someone that can provide. So during this happy season of Jesus' birth and we're celebrating Christmas and Christ and all of the lights and all of the things, to giving gifts and just giving our best because God first gave it to us. And so as we go through all of that, I just don't get so caught up in you and your four no more, but I ask you to again open your hearts and your mind just to see who it is that God is sending your way this Christmas day. We want it not to be said that there is no room for them in the end, or there's no help for them out here in this land of we call love. But we want to make sure that the love in our heart is reaching out and helping those, dear Father, that is calling out, dear Father. And in their prayers, God is sending you and I to get out there and to answer those prayers. We are his hands, we're his body, so we're the ones that are supposed to be out here working according to his will. If we just open our hearts and our ears and our eyes, he will direct us, and we make sure we listen out for it and show us something that we maybe have passed up before. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, we know who's going to pick back up. We was talking a lot about Gideon. Some very interesting replies on the one about Gideon. Some people said that they felt like that they were Gideon. I also felt like that maybe their family was part of Gideon's family, as poor as, you know, the, he was a man who experienced great anxiety. And I find that it is a lot of people who reply and say that they went through or are going through different bouts of anxiety, and different things may set them off more than other things. And most of the people would say that anxiety mostly is set off just by crowds of people. There was a lot of response about people saying that they just crowds of people just seem to give them anxiety. And this time of the year, you run into more crowds of people than any other time. So they kind of like back away from the experiencing all of Christmas that maybe they would want to because of the anxiety there. Some people, like Gideon, was kind of convinced that, you know, that he had been abandoned, and that even the Israelites had been abandoned by God. That was Gideon's thought. You know, and he felt like that everything that he did, his enemies, to minimize anything that he had to hide it, or, you know, it was going to be taken away, or he believed that his family was one of the weakest of the community, and that he himself, he believed, was the least of all men. So he was always comparing he and his family to others around him, and even the group of Israelites, to the Midianites. There was a lot of comparison going along, that he always found himself, or he saw himself, at the bottom end of the stick anytime he was doing those comparisons. And so I found in reply from you and you and you that there are a lot of people today that feel the same way. They feel like in their families, that regardless of what they've done, they feel like they just cannot get ahead, that they've always been the one at the bottom of the totem pole, or even though no one may not say it, they feel like people are seeing it because they're seeing it in through their eyes. And, but I came to remind you tonight that just like God called and used Gideon, even though he had the thoughts, God didn't wait until he got his thinking together enough. Even with all of the stinky thinking that he had going on about himself, God still looked beyond all of that and said, I still see the plans that I have for you. I had plans to use you to do different things, but I'm still going to do those plans through you. So even though Gideon did a lot of talking, trying to talk his way out of it, and maybe explaining to God that maybe you just don't know who I am, but, you know, but even to the angels, he was trying to carry on conversations to convince the angels that maybe God has chosen the wrong one. And maybe you're at that place right now tonight, and maybe you're feeling that same way. Excuse me. Maybe you're talking to God, you know, in your prayers. You just go on just mumbling and talking and grumbling about what you can't do and what you how you always fail in different areas, and you don't like being around certain groups of people, and you don't like doing certain things that God is now placing in your heart that he's wanting you to do. But just like Gideon, God still has plans for you, and all you have to do is just surrender, and he will use you. You know, we pray that we want to be used, but then when he asked us and he called our name, we said, but not like that guy. That's not what I was planning on. That's not the area that I am I'm strong in. I'm weak in that area. No, I don't do that. You need to tell me something else to do, God. I need you to use me in another way. Or then as many times that he'll tell us to go do something, we'll say, well, I don't want to do that because you forgot about it. I don't talk to them. Now, I don't even associate with them, guys, so it would be impossible for me to go over there and do this or do that because I don't even associate with them. So show me somebody else. I'm friends with this person. Go tell me to do this with them, you know. So there are many times that we find ourselves in that same position with Gideon. But just like with Gideon, God has his own plan, and whether you like it or not, God is not going to turn around and bend down or bow down to your ways of thinking about it. He will comfort you and give you strength to go through it. He will bless you in a way that you won't be anxious about it, you know. that you're able to go in and go through it. But when he said that, we might as well surrender and go forward. And just like with Gideon, Gideon had, you know, the battle, and he had thousands of soldiers that he had gathered around him to come on and do this battle. And God lifted all of these thousands of them And he kept cutting his Gideon's men down and cutting them down and saying, no. And so it was down to just a very few. And Gideon was, you know, what is going on here? I was, you know, I had anxiety when I had all the thousands around me. And now you're cutting me down to just this, you know. And the Israelites, the Midianites, was good at winning their battles. So God was just proving a point and showing a point through Gideon and for him to discover and get an intimate relationship with God, just to see exactly who God was and what role he was playing in his life and how the plans in his life would be played out, that no one would be able to say that it was Gideon nor any of his men that won the battle against the Midianites. But everyone would have to see that this is God. It had to be God. It couldn't have been anyone else. And that's the same thing that God is showing you right now in your life. Somebody right now is facing that same place right now that Gideon was at. And you feel like the more that you try to do, the more it's taken away from you. God may be trying to show you, you don't need that. I'm taking all the purchase away from you. I don't want any leaning posters that is not within me. I am your leaning post, and this is all you're going to have today is me. So get ready, get right, because here it is. I'm coming through. We're going to do this thing. You might as well surrender and trust in the Holy Spirit. You got to get that intimate relationship with God to be comfortable enough to get there. Because if not, you're just going to hinder yourself and keep going around and around in circles, because he's still going to use you in the way that he said. Amen? So the value of prayer when you're fighting anxiety is a valuable thing. The value of prayer was something that Gideon knew very well. He had to learn very well. Again, he had a lengthy discussion with the angel of the Lord about who he was and what God was doing. You know, he also had conversation again with God, trying to resolve his doubts. The men at the battle was drawing close. You know, more communication took place when God gave him instructions. The closer he got into the battle, God started communicating with him, giving him more instructions. And through prayer, he experienced an intimacy with the Lord. But answers to his questions started to be revealed to him. And the direction for his life, he could see a little bit more clearly now. Again, through the intimacy that he found through prayer. And just as he did for Gideon, God invites you and you and you to go talk over your worries with him. You know, it's not me trying to convince God, as we said, what you can't do, but talk over your worries with him, whatever that you want, you know, ask God to strengthen you in. He invites you to come and talk over your worries with him. And he longs to replace your anxious burdens with his peace. You know, he's not holding out on peace. He wants you to have his peace. Hallelujah. Because remember, we spoke about his peace. It surpasses all of our comprehension. Things you can't even understand. We have several advantages right now over Gideon when we pray. So see, first of all, We have the Bible, which is God's instructional book for living, which is full of information about who the Lord is and what he is doing. We have the Bible. And the more we believe the Word, we'll start to understand his plan through the Word. That's why you have to read the Word over and over again. That's why you need to open your own Bible and not just rely on your pastor or your pastor's organization. That's why you need to read it over and over again. You'll get something different every time. You'll begin to understand something every time that you didn't get the first time. So the more you believe the Word, That's when you start to understand God's plan for your life, for your situation, through the Word. And the more you understand it, then you start to build more confidence. The more confidentially we will talk to God. See, when you read His Word, you believe His Word, you start to understand His Word, you start to speak His Word. So you start to talk to Him about His Word. And then secondly, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth of God's Word. The presence of the Holy Spirit to interpret for us. The presence of the Holy Spirit that will just stand out there and intercede for us. As we spoke earlier, even with our prayers, we can't even think of the words to say. We have the Holy Spirit. And as we discover how relevant the scriptures are to our situation, the more that we read it, the more that we believe it, the more we'll understand how our situations play out with these scriptures, how our answers to the problems we're going through right now is right here in the scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, so many times, I think a lot of people tend to hear the word of the Bible, and you think of the Bible as something that was way back when. You think of the Bible that was something that was going on back there in Moses' time, and you don't think that it's relevant. You think nothing about that has nothing to do with you right now, right here. Hallelujah. You look at situations, you say, well, they didn't have cars. You know, they didn't have the modern things that we have right now. So, you know, things are just so much different. All of the things in the Bible was for men. That is a lie from hell. We need to really get into it. It's just a sign that you haven't been into the Bible. You haven't studied the Bible. You haven't allowed the Bible to come alive in your life. Because when you study the Word of God, again, you start to believe it. You start to understand it. And you start to see how relevant the scriptures are in your situation. And then you will learn to pray from God's perspective. See, our prayers will be more about God's will in your life than what you want, what your neighbor got and you want, what you saw your family have, but you want. But your prayers will start to change the direction, and you'll start to pray more of God's perspective. Our prayers will be more about His will than what we want. And then third, Jesus. Jesus, our risen Savior. Jesus is interceding for each and every one of us. And then the Holy Spirit, we said, is praying on our behalf. Even when our words fail, we do not pray alone. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of us. The Holy Spirit is praying on our behalf. Jesus is interceding on our behalf. See, through our communication with God, ladies and gentlemen, we can experience His presence just like Gideon did through our communion with God. It is here that our spiritual needs are met when we are in communion with God. We can experience His presence. It is here that's when our freedom from anxiety comes for us. It is here that we find our trust in life, that we can start living a life without being apprehensive about every little thing. It's when we get into an intimate relationship with God. We can commune with God. We can talk to God. And when we cry out to God, crying out to God is it's just a spontaneous response to an urgent need that we feel that we have. See, if crying out to God is different from any typical prayer, it differs because crying out to God, it involves our typical prayer may involve maybe just periods of worship. And as we cry out to God, it's in a different form. We have a different intention. Again, typical prayer, it may be involving and with intercession, our petitioning God. But when we cry out, this distraught call focus certainly is on an entire situation of difficulty, something is difficult in our lives right then. And that call that we cry out, it focuses on whatever problem is going on then. See, the problem can be heartbreaking news. We cry out to the Lord. The problem can be a dangerous situation that we find ourselves in. Then we cry out to the Lord. We're distraught before the Lord. It could be many things, physical pain, it could be a spiritual confusion, whatever the cause is. We seek immediate relief from God and we cry out. And just like Peter, great example, Peter sinking in the sea. You know the story. We're saying, Lord, save me from whatever our situation is. We call out desperately when we hear bad news come our way, because we acknowledge that the only God has power to change our circumstances. So we call out, where are you? We need you. Lord, save me. And when we're walking obedient with the Lord, he will respond. And if he does not alter the situation, he will replace your fear with courage and confidence. And sometimes we have to watch and make sure that we're allowing God to answer him in his way, which is the best way for our good. Because sometimes when we get so distraught, we forget about, we just have our own mentality set of how we think that it should be worked out, how we think the problem should be solved. But it's up to God. God may not choose not to alter your situation. Hallelujah. But he won't just leave you there all anxious and distraught. Our loving God will replace your fear with courage and confidence. You know, we just have to make sure that we're receiving it. Because a lot of times we say, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want words of comfort. I don't want to feel comfortable right now. I don't want to be mad about this. I want to be angry about this. What do you say I should worry? How can I not worry? I better worry. I want to worry about this. Then we need not pray. You can't worry and pray at the same time. Because you're not going to be able to leave your issue at the altar with God. You're going to pick them up every time and try to carry them with you. The load is too heavy for you. You're not built to carry that load. But God is. But God is. He said, let's replace it. You tell me what you got. Let me give you my comfort. Let me give you my confidence. A cry to the Heavenly Father. It's rooted in faith that he will answer his children. If you cry out, believe that he's going to answer you. Believers expect God to respond with clear direction and without fail. That's why we cry out. Because we know he's trustworthy to answer us. Exodus 17 details how the Lord demonstrates his faithfulness and a rest. And when the wandering Israelites again grumbled against their leader, this time because of thirst, Moses did what he called out to God. He said, God, what should I do with these people? And then instantly, the Lord replied with a solution that not only satisfied Moses, but it satisfied the Israelites' thirst. So it satisfied Moses' despair, and it satisfied the Israelites' thirst. So while we're sinking in a sea of pain or anxiously seeking a taste of God's living water, my sisters and brothers, the Lord hears our cry. And he says again, he will call upon me, and I will answer him. That was our scripture for tonight, right? I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him, and I will honor him. Psalms 91:15. You want to hold on to that. That was a, let me get you through the night tonight, sister. Let me get you through the night, my brother.
You want to hold on to that. Psalms 91:15. He said that you, my sister and brother, put your name, make it personal. Did you make it personal, God, and personal with you too?
Intimate relationship.
He said, Sue, you will call upon me. Angie, you will call upon me. John, Frank, Vaughn, you will call upon me. And I will answer John. I will answer JD. I will answer Joyce. And I will be with Joyce in trouble. I will be with Vaughn in trouble. I will rescue her. And I will honor her. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we fail to listen to God. We pay attention to wrong voices. We fall prey to deception, and we refuse sometimes to submit even to the Lord. Now, I know that sounds, you may say, no, no, no. But the church is full of us. Those sitting on the pews looking very good. But we're not submitting to the Lord. We have hardened our hearts, and we refuse to submit to the Lord. So because of that, we fall prey to deception. Because of that, we shut our ears to the Lord. See, all three make the excellent evidence of Adam and Eve's decision to eat from the forbidden fruit. The three negative results that we're speaking about right now, which again was, we fall prey to deception, we pay attention to wrong voices, and we refuse to submit to the Lord. Let's look at the example as far as with Adam and Eve and their decision to eat from the forbidden fruit. What are the consequences? What are the consequences result from shutting our ears to God? First, when we shut our ears to God, we will make decisions based upon our appeal to anything. Let's just start with that. We're going to make it personal. So first, again, when we shut our ears to God, we make decisions based upon their appeal. So to entice Adam and Eve to disobey, what does the enemy do? The devil twisted God's word, and he misused legitimate desires that the Lord had given to the couple. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us how to keep our appetites and desires in check. Sometimes we rule that out. The second thing, we will excuse our wrongdoing and blame others. See, Adam pointed a finger at Eve, and then she turned and she blamed the serpent. And then Satan, in return, will do the same thing. He will tempt you. He can tempt us, but the responsibility is ours if we contend. If we decide to answer and consent to what he is offering, the responsibility is ours. We shouldn't be pointing the finger at no one. Adam pointed at Eve. Eve pointed at the serpent. Adam told God it's his fault. It was you who gave me this woman. And then the third thing, when we shut our ears to God, we will experience divine discipline. God loves us enough that he will discipline us. Not only that, but others will also suffer when we disobey. See, the first man and woman was cast from God's presence. They were cast out of God's presence. And their lives became much harder. Anytime we separate ourselves from the Lord, our lives become much harder. Sin enters your family. It leads you to more strife. It leads you to death. Even with Adam and Eve, their son Abel was murdered by their other son Cain. Wow. Adam and Eve's choice affected all future generations as well. The choices you are making right now they're going to affect everything and everyone about you that's around you. Not just that you can see, but generations to come. And through Adam and Eve, sin entered the world and resides in you and I, and we're born into sin right now today. Amen? And then four, we will let out on God's best when we shut our ears to the Lord. We miss out on the best that he has for us. You see, the first human law both Eve's splendor and perfect communion with the Lord. Unconfessed sin will separate us too. Unconfessed sin. You say, I don't have to confess my sin to anyone. Unconfessed sin separates us from the Lord. It separates us from the fellowship with the Father. You must repent of your sin. Confess your sin. Some people say, well, I carry this one to the grave. I'm not confessing this to God and no one else. That's what we're talking about. You will not even submit to God. He knows all. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And he's just willing and waiting for you to come and talk to him about it. Come and confess it. Amen? Unconfessed sin separates us from the Lord, from the fellowship of our Father. And then closing our ears to God's voice can happen in a moment's time. You need to safeguard yourself. Commit to a genuine listening. Start hearing and remembering and doing what God says. Don't just take the word and just read it. Take your time. You know, sometimes it takes me a while to get through the word. I read a little bit, and I have to listen to the Lord as he explains a little bit to me. The Holy Spirit starts to intercede for me. I have to go back over it. Just because something is natural, only human, does not mean it's right or beneficial for us. In fact, we actually hinder the things of God in our life when we start to set our minds on things of the flesh. We try to read the word and something in the flesh is our lovers. We start thinking about something totally different. We start thinking about what we could get, what we can't get, but we get so caught up in us. We actually hinder the things of God that's in our life, that's present with us right now, when we start setting our minds on things that are of the flesh, which can include sinful attitudes. Some of the ideas that we have are sinful. Being around us, some of our habits, and even common worldly aspirations like money or sex, power. The reason is that the natural man does not receive the things of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, that's the word of God. Noting that there is nothing wrong now with eating, but the scriptures categorize gladly as sinful. Nothing wrong with eating, but it is gladly has taken into another area where we're way out there. Gluttony is sinful. Nor is there anything immoral about sexual intimacy when it's practiced, of course, within the God-given parameters of marriage. There's definitely nothing wrong. That's your gift. But as long as our desires and our appetites are subdued and brought under subjection to the Holy Spirit, our fellowship with God can continue harmoniously. But when your yearnings are unrestrained and your thoughts is way out there, our closeness and our communication with the Lord becomes obstructive. It can be about anything. So in order for us to give the Holy Spirit control of our life, we must be persuaded that we cannot live righteously in our own strength. We need the Lord. Just like Gideon needed the Lord. We need the Lord. We can't get so righteous that we think that we no longer need the Lord. Hallelujah. Most of us realize that it's a struggle to live in a God-pleasing, man world. To do so requires that we surrender our entire being to him. That means our mind. We surrender our will, our emotion, our conscience. We have to surrender it all to him. And we have to ask God to reveal areas of weakness in us. And then give him each fragility as it comes to light. As he shows us those areas of weakness, give it to him. Don't just sit there and look at them and get all anxious and crazy about, well, this is one of my weaknesses. Give it to him. Don't hold on to it. Give it to him. This needs to be done not just one time, but sisters and brothers, this needs to be done daily, daily, daily. Gideon could not have lived all of that time with those thoughts of himself and then just one time speak it, but daily. Can you imagine if he's going to battle now and his army around him is shrinking and shrinking and God is just moving them back? No, you go home. You go home. He's got to keep saying this. He's got to keep encouraging himself with the word. He's got to believe the word. He's got to start understanding the word. He's got to continue to speak to God, communicate with God about his word. No more about what I can and I can't do. That's not God's word. And he needs to do that daily. God, show me my weaknesses. As he shows them to you, give them back to him. God, here is my weakness. My weakness is this. Here's my weakness, God. Strengthen that for me. Hallelujah. That is awesome. Every day we need to do this. So I encourage you. In our closing, every morning when you wake up, it's wise to just pray, Father, today I'm totally yours. Can you try that? When you wake up, just say, today, Father, I am totally yours. I can't live this Christian life on my own, but I pray that you would live through me. I pray that you would live through me. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I want to invite each and every one of you to just reach out. Anyone you know during this here time or season that you know that they don't have a church home and maybe your church is in their area, make sure that you turn their name into your church and just ask someone to go check on them. And also, before we close tonight, as always, we want to give you an invitation to salvation. During this time on earth, Jesus was always, he was always inviting people to come and follow him. He said to those by the Sea of Galilee, he said, come on, follow me. He invited his listeners to come to him, to come for faith, to come for healing, to come for hope, to come for happiness. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He said, and I will give you rest. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come follow me. So perhaps today you feel that Christ himself is speaking just to you. Imagine if you were in the same room right now with Christ. And that you're given this invitation for Christ to come and follow him. What would you do if he was right there in the room with you right now? Well, he really is in that room with you. He really is inviting you to come and become his child, his follower, his disciple. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you right now to just come. Come now. Come courageously. Follow the Lord. And just repeat these words after me. God, I believe that you are the true living word. I believe that you gave your only son that he would give his life for my sin. And I thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to die for me. I ask you to cleanse me of all of my sins right now and come live inside of me. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 It's just that simple. God bless you. It is so important that you reach out and let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. He is a father who cares. He is a loving friend who will never turn his back on you. He is all that you will ever need. Even in the midnight hours, he's there. Even on your job, he's there. Wherever you're at, he's right there. You can call upon the Lord. He will answer you. He has plans for you just as he did with Gideon. This is your minister, Bon Dillon, and I love you, but remember God loves you more. And our quest for tonight is I challenge you as tomorrow, when you get up in the morning, just wake up and say, Father, today I'm totally yours. I can't live this Christian life on my own, but I pray that you would live through me. And we'll talk tomorrow and see how it went, okay? You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. God bless you. Bye-bye.